superheroes. Let's see how many of them you can get. This is not going to stretch the grey cells too far. It's Sunday morning and it's hot. I thought we'd keep it quite simple. So who are these? Who have we got? Wow, that's not difficult, is it? Who are we going to... Oh, I can hear a... Batman, of course. Batman and... Superman, of course. Looks kind of old-fashioned there, doesn't it? It makes me feel okay. That's what superheroes looked like when I was a child. And they used to do things like go kablam and things like that, rather than any of this modern stuff. But who else have we got? Oh, we should know this one. Come on, Simon, show your expertise. Elastigirl. Mrs. Incredible. Okay, Elastigirl. Locked door, shut door, no problem. Elastigirl goes through the gap underneath. And various other things. If you've never seen the Incredibles movie, it's worth the while. It's great. It's good fun. There's a few others. This is kind of a bit of a generational thing here, I think. Okay. We've got Iron Man. Can I just say, there is a three-year-old sibling at my school who puts his Iron Man mask on most mornings and thinks the greatest thing that Iron Man can come and do is try and punch the head teacher of the school, which is kind of interesting. We were watching another Iron Man film last night, which was purely coincidental, but Iron Man, interesting character, Tony Stark. The kind of thing starting where superheroes are not always quite so perfect and super all the time. Interesting. Okay. Oh, a little bit, maybe a little bit of a harder one for some people. We have, from the front row, Ant-Man. Okay. Ant-Man. Again, I'm going to leave you to explore that one all on your own. Now, I think this one, this is a generational thing. Some people, in that smile that came on to anyone sort of over the age of 40, said, oh, yes. Only you might do it in tune. I wouldn't. Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy, which actually has a tune to it, which Helen could do for us. Of course, the interesting thing about Hong Kong Fooey, who's ever watched Hong Kong Fooey? Oh, yes! And the great thing about Hong Kong Fooey, of course, is that Hong Kong Fooey actually wasn't us. He was completely hopeless. And it was his cat who solved all the problems and sorted everything out for him. But Hong Kong Fooey. Spider-Man! Oh, now we're getting down to which movie it is. Oh, come on. Okay, and the Fantastic Four. Can anyone name all of the Fantastic Four other than Rory? I'm sure we can. Okay, I'm not going to worry. You can worry about that all on your own later. Superheroes. Really quite in at the moment, aren't they? Superhero films. We saw all sorts of things about superheroes. And I said, this kind of thing that's a bit there at the moment, that not all our superheroes are quite as super as they could be. Well, today we are looking at probably the prototype superhero. The very first superhero. Super Samson and his strength we've talked about. Let's have a little think here about Samson, just to get a bit of perspective. How strong was Samson? Obviously we can say very. It probably doesn't help us very much. So I just want you to, Tony, is now looking at me. Well, please don't. Tony, any chance of you pushing that pillar over there?
I can try.
Give it a go, you know.
I'd really rather.
Yeah, well, at this point I was really relying that the quinquennial had done its job properly. No, that pillar. If I asked any of you, I don't know who thinks they're probably the strongest in here. If we had a bit of a, if we had a bit of a kind of go at seeing what we could do. Could anyone push that pillar over? I don't think so. What about this? What if instead I said, okay, that's a bit too hard. I wonder if there's a volunteer who would go and get the front door for me. Well, not just the front door, but the door frame and all of the porch as well. If you just pick it up and bring it to the front, anybody would like to do that for me? Samson did. Or something very similar. Samson did that. Well, if that's too hard, let's go for something simple. Okay, well, I don't particularly need to unwind this. Anybody think that they could snap this rope with their bare hands? Probably not, to be honest. There's a rope, I think you could probably tow a car along with it. But again, the story of Samson shows Samson's strength such that he could take rope like this and just snap it as if it was like cobwebs, threads. So that's who Samson, that's who we're going to be looking at today. This amazing character of Samson, but as Helen said earlier on, a very complex character. And in terms of flawed superheroes, superheroes are not maybe quite as super as they could be. I think Samson certainly fits that. But before we go any further, we have a reading, I think.
Page 213 in the Church Bible. That's Judges chapter 13. And we're not reading the whole of it this morning. And the Hebrews reading, which is on the screen. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. So on page chapter 13 of Judges, beginning at verse 1, and then we will 1 to 5 and 24 and 25. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Now to verse 24. "And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Maanah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol." This is the word of the Lord.
So we're going to have a look at this story of Samson. Before we do that, why don't we just pray for a second. Dear Lord, we ask that you this morning will teach us through this story. Talk to us and show us something of yourself as we look at this character, Samson. To the glory of your name. Amen. Now, if you have been coming along through the summer and the couple of weeks before the holiday, you know we're working our way through this chapter 11 of Hebrews. And we've got to this verse 32, which does seem to be taking quite a long time, because we're going through each of those characters, one name at a time. And it's great. And it's putting us, because we're doing that, we're spending a lot of time in this book of Judges. Now, Samson, of course, when we hear the word Samson, we do tend to think of Delilah straight away. But actually, to understand Samson properly, we need to look across the whole of his life, which is four chapters. It's quite a lot to do in the morning, isn't it? That's it, Mark, look, there you go. So four chapters of Judges and Mark leaves. There you go. He's off to Walkton, yes? So he knows, because actually I did threaten after last week, I was going to threaten to act this passage out and get someone to be Delilah for me. I'll just let that image play in your mind for a while. Thank you, Mike. So we're going to have a look at Samson. Before we actually look at his story, we need to understand a little bit about the world that Samson was in and what it was like. Now, as we've been going through Judges, you may have spotted a bit of a pattern. It often referred to as the four R's, but this is the context in which Samson was born into. All the way through Judges, we find the people of Israel are, well, they keep doing this thing. Rebellion is this word. They keep trying to live their lives in the way that God doesn't want them to. They go against God. Despite all the things that God has done for them, they turn their back and they go off and do their own thing. They worship foreign gods. They do things that seem like fun to them, but which are not part of what God wants them to do. And then in each of the stories, we finish up with retribution, consequence. You're at school, I wonder how many times you've heard a teacher sort of say, well, you've done something wrong, there's a consequence. Which is a kind of nice way of saying we're about to tell you off. But there's a consequence. Retribution. And in most cases, this means it through Judges, that God allows one of the neighbours, one of the foreign armies to come in and invade Israel and take over the land. And then the people of Israel think, oh dear, this is really bad. We've really got this wrong. This is bad. Actually, this is what God told us we shouldn't do. We're sorry, God. We're sorry. Please rescue us. And then God restores them. God saves Israel through one of the judges. And this is one of the things that the judges do. They come, they lead Israel, and they save Israel time and time again from these foreign armies. So we get to Samson. And we look at the beginning of chapter 13, the bit we had read for us, and we can see this is beginning to happen. The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. There it is, there's the top one. And so the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There's number two. Which means it's time for repentance, isn't it? Have a good read of chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. Israel don't get to repentance this time. They don't get it. They've kind of got so used to living their lifestyle, that although they kind of know it's not perfect, they can't be bothered with saying sorry to God. So you might think that number four is not going to happen. Thankfully, God's not like that. And although Israel are completely stuck in the way they're doing it, God goes and brings Samson, I knew I'd do that at some point, Samson, and to rescue Israel from the Philistines. So what do we know about Samson? Okay, well, we know his name. We know his superpower. His strength. We know that he's an Israelite. He's part of the Israelite nation. There's also this little extra bit which we need to pay attention to, in that he was a Nazarite. It tells us here. Now, for those of you who want to check this up, that's Numbers chapter 6. You need to look if you want to know more about this. But basically, these things together mean that there were a few rules that Samson had to live by. He should only marry another Israelite. That was really true for the whole of the people of Israel. But he should only marry another Israelite. He shouldn't ever have anything alcoholic. In fact, if you read the bit in Numbers, it said nothing to do with grapes, grape juice, couldn't have a schlur, anything like that. Okay. Nothing. I don't know if Shiloh's actually ever touched a grape, but nothing to do with grapes. Certainly no alcohol, no strong drinks. Not allowed to touch any dead bodies. It's probably an easier one, you would have thought, to keep. But that means sort of not just humans, but animals and things as well. And the bit with Samson's famous for, mustn't have his hair cut. So there we go, four rules, a bit strange maybe, but four rules which Samson has to keep to. So that's basically the first chapter of Samson's life done. Start at the beginning of chapter 14. We don't really know anything about Samson growing up. By the time the story comes, yeah, I don't know, late, maybe a teenager, probably in his 20s or something like that, because Samson's in love. He has fallen in love. Beginning of chapter 14 there. He's in love. And here he is. Here's a picture of Samson telling his parents the good news. He's found the person he wants to marry. Just have a look at Dad's face for a moment. It's all right, Tom. That wasn't my face. Don't worry. Dad doesn't look pleased, does he? If you look at that face, I don't know what how you would describe what Dad's thinking from that face. But he looks, I don't know if he's horrified, scared, what's going on. But it's not good. Because Samson has decided that he wants to marry one of the women from the Philistines. Which is not exactly great, is it? We've only just started the story of Samson, and we've managed to break one of our rules. Samson breaks his rule. He wants to marry this Philistine woman. And from there, this is, the story develops quite quickly. I'm going to put that down. Samson, mum and his dad, okay, he's going to marry this woman. They go to her village, her place, to go and set the wedding up. So organising weddings, if you've ever done it, it's not a straightforward process, is it? Okay, so we're going to go off to her village. Maybe it's that moment where you have to meet the in-laws. Could be difficult. Okay. They go to the village, and on the way, as they get near to the village, they are attacked by a lion. It's the story there. This lion attacks them. Now, if you've ever watched a wildlife program, if you've seen a lion take a buffalo down, you realise just how powerful lions can be. But for Samson, it's no problem. This lion attacks. And it quite simply says in the Bible, Samson tears it apart with his bare hands. Which is a fairly dramatic thing to do. And they go to the village, and on the way back, something else happens. Samson, as they come back, they do whatever they need to do in the village. They come back. And on the way back, I don't know if Samson's feeling a bit sort of like, just check that lion really is dead. I've pulled it to pieces. Let's just check. But he goes over to where the dead body of the lion is. And in the lion,